folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. Looking forward to spending another hour with you this week, sharing knowledge, some wisdom, maybe some laughs, and talking about current events and things along the way. Every now and then, sharing a recipe. I still haven't gotten back to my original format, but this flow seems to be working pretty well. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback on my shows based on the content that we've been discussing the last couple of months, primarily because of the state of mental and emotional chaos that the country has been in, mostly as a result of COVID and then the successive happenings subsequently after as a result. Tonight, I'm going to talk about some current events. I'm going to talk about alternative media to start because I was having a discussion earlier this week or at the tail end of last week regarding mainstream media, and everybody that's listened to my shows for any amount of time has heard me consistently proclaim to shut off the television, get outside in nature, ground, don't listen to the BS and the hype that they're trying to spew out there to keep us in a depression, anxiety, just a state of discontent in general. However, with that in mind, the research that I need to do in order to provide my shows to you requires that I do need to pay attention to certain things here and there. While I don't make it a focus and I don't consistently watch these programs, I do refer to other outlets such as Telegram, and so as a result, people pretty much have done some of the work for me when it comes to the mainstream stuff, because they'll record something on TikTok or Telegram, and then or they'll take it from TikTok and put it on Telegram. And so it's kind of nice because I have these little bites that are already put into place for me, and all I have to do is listen to a few minutes of it, and I get the gist of what's being put out there on mainstream media. However, I've been extremely busy the last several months. And so what sometimes works best for me is while I'm cooking or cleaning or doing basic chores around the house, I will put the television on for a little bit here and there just to see what the mainstream is putting out there and get an idea of what they're talking about and then shut it off. And that's just how I roll. It's what makes my show more effective, I think, because I can't legitimately speak about a topic that I don't know about. So if I don't research it and know what they're putting out there, can't really talk about it knowledgeably. So tonight I want to go into two people's perspectives on alternative media that one does sometimes a video, but then he does a written article, and you have to subscribe to his social media site to get the rest of the article. It gives you about half, but it gives you a very good idea of the information that he's putting out there. And the woman has a show, and she, from what it appears, at least as I listen to her, she does, is she goes out and gathers a bunch of information that she's heard on different sites and then conglomerates that and reports on it. So I want to compare the two because they're diametrically opposed and they're very, very diverse in nature. And that'll give you an idea of, even in alternative circles, the amount of back and forth that's being done and how one person will have a solid, seems to be very, very, while the mainstream media typically remains consistent with their headlines. In fact, we already know that every channel, should you put them side by side, for the most part, they speak almost exactly the same phrases when they're pushing their narrative. The alternative media has very different sides of the posts that they take, and it's up to us to be able to use our discernment to try and feel our way through or pray our way through what's real and what's not. Or is there a portion of one that may have some truths and a portion of another that may have some truth? Because what I found is that there's an essence of truth in everything. It's just a matter of how much. So, and then from there, I think we'll go into the codependency maybe that we talked about last week. We'll see how it flows. So here we go. First lady, some of you may have heard of, she's been around for a long time, is Billie Bean. This is from her Rumble channel.
I'll begin with the sub-sources I have are talking about a secret NATO declaration of war written, formally given to Russia. Russia then communicated back formally in written form to NATO and Brussels, yes, we've received your declaration of war. Now, this happened, alleged to have happened late in April, and the reason it's secret is that the peoples of many nations, the U.S., France, Germany, Poland, Romania, the people of the NATO nations do not support sending their sons and daughters to an active hot shooting combat zone inside Ukraine to fight Russia. But the evil and corrupt shadow NATO went ahead and put together a written formal declaration of war, delivered it, and then Russia formally responded to it. Now, this is secret and is alleged to have happened late in April. Let's see with our lying eyes, do we see anything supporting this occurring? And yes, we do. We saw in the U.S. on April 1920 about 7 to 8 hours of our pilots being given new arming information, our silos going hot. That was excellently reported on New York Prepper. And then Steve Quayle came out with some definitions for us, Sky Master and also Sky King. Sky Master, when we hear that on a public frequency that's also going to our pilots, that's to give new targeting data to open our silos, make them hot, ready to go. And also provide new arming data for our planes and submarines. If under the title Sky Master, when we hear Sky King, that is the signal to launch. And we did hear that for 7 to 8 hours late in April, about April 19 to 20. That would correspond to this new information coming out that NATO had a secret written formal declaration of war late in April. We also then had Mike from around the world regularly on Pastor Paul Biggie's Thursday night. We know Mike works for the government, making a statement that this incident that happened on April 19 to 20 was real. The U.S. was minutes away from a nuclear exchange with Russia. So we see some support that we've seen with our lying eyes. We have multiple sources supporting this new information that NATO made a written formal declaration of war and presented it to Russia late in April. So that's going on. So what else are we seeing? And we're seeing this. War News 24/7 and Hal Turner are reporting on May 4 yesterday, Zelensky and other individuals were placed on a kill arrest list by Russia. What is a kill arrest list? The U.S. military also has millions of individuals in the U.S. and around the world currently also on the U.S. military kill arrest list. What does that mean? It means that when a military comes to arrest you, if you resist, they kill you. Kill arrest. Wanted, dead or alive, as the U.S. Old West legends had it. Yeah, they would put out posters for outlaws in the U.S. Wanted, dead or alive. So that corresponds to a kill arrest list. Now, this list also includes Zelensky plus his cabinet. It also includes Poroshenko and his cabinet. Now, In 2014 is when the shadow U.S. government, headed up by Victoria Nuland, led a coup against the democratically elected government of Ukraine and put in place Poroshenko. And he was in place 2014 to 2019. And 2019 is when the shadow U.S. State Department put in Zelensky. So all of these individuals are now on an active kill arrest list by Russia. Russia is also saying that they will not negotiate with Zelensky, whom they consider to be illegitimate, and the current election term, which many believe is not legitimate, but alleged to be to end May 20. So it's believed by many military analysts that after that date, Russia will indeed actively pursue the kill arrest list for Zelensky, his cabinet, and also Poroshenko and his cabinet. So that's going on.
Okay, she also goes on to say that France is sending their French Foreign Legion, and for those of you that don't know about the French Foreign Legion, she does go into that in her video. They are a group of people that are non-French, and they can serve in the French Foreign Legion for 3 years, and then after that become citizens of France due to their service. They're staging troops, supposedly, or sending in troops supposedly in Poland and some Slavic countries to set up for war. She also says the U.S. and other countries are sending in planes that are going to be based in Poland and Romania and then go into the Ukraine. They're going to land in those countries and go into the Ukraine, and she feels that Russia will just go into those countries and take out the airport so that those planes can't land there and set up for war, which is not what they're saying on the surface. They're saying they're putting in forces for whatever, but they're actually there in preparation for war is what a lot of people on the alternative side believe. She also says that Maria Zakharova, who is a spokesperson for Russia, came out and said that they do not believe that this is just a war game exercise. Billy Bean also says that war analysts and a majority of the American people concur with her opinion that this is not just a war game, that it is a preparation for war, and I would tend to agree that this NATO exercise is not just a war game. They're prepping for something much more nefarious, and yes, in fact, war. Bounds on some other research she's done setting up this whole pre-game or pre-war scenario, as she's gleaned information from other sources that are saying that. Here's another clip.
Mr. Burrow, he's a journalist from Europe, saying that Russia no longer will recognize Zelensky as the leader of Ukraine after May 20. We know that Zelensky has done away with the elections and has implemented martial law inside Ukraine. But apparently, Russia is sticking to the letter of the law, as Zelensky alleged to be a leader of Ukraine with a term that would end May 20. I submit after May 20, all bets are off. That's when Russia may actively pursue their list of kill arrest. And this says Russia, according to Alex Cristoforo, will not negotiate with Zelensky. Russia does not consider Zelensky to be the legitimate leader of Ukraine.
And there's just more of the same. She does give a list of her sources and who she's reported on. The one guy, though, Mike, that was on Paul Begley's show, that she said we know that he's a government insider or whatever. Things like that I tend to question, because how do I know that this guy is legitimately a government representative or a former employee of the government or somebody that has information? Anybody could say anything, right? The same as everybody else she was referring to earlier on in the show. However, the information that she provided subsequently all seems to pretty much put out the narrative that we're prepping for war and that this isn't a war game scenario with NATO, and that sounds to be right to me. So the problem that I have with all of this is just one person that's talking about these things, and a lot of the underground alternative media are also reporting on these same scenarios. Then we have the other side of the coin. Benjamin Fulford is an investigative journalist who is from Canada and lived for a while in Japan and claims to have inside knowledge of the White Dragon Society. And he also claims that they attempted to or possibly murdered his pregnant girlfriend and baby, and that they've made many attempts on his life for some of the things that he's brought out there. But he takes a totally different twist. Benjamin is somebody that I followed for a very long time. I find his perspective on a lot of things to be more utopian in attitude. He always seems to want to bring together the world and have peace and feed all the hungry, and that seems to be his opinion when he does his reporting. But his scenarios seem to fluctuate if you listen to him historically over a period of time based on the information that's been given to him from his quote-unquote sources. So sometimes the world's in a terrible state of disarray and the black hats are winning, and sometimes the white hats are winning, and it seems to go back and forth, and it has been for a while now, like a couple years now, with some of the things that he's reported based on his sources, which if it were to be legitimate, or if you believe it's legitimate what he puts out there, he has sources from both sides of the spectrum, so he's just reporting on the knowledge that he gets from either side at any given time. So that in itself would make sense as to why he seems to flip-flop back and forth, because it's his sources that are giving him conflicting information depending on what side of the fence that they're sitting on, and I can appreciate that. I also can appreciate his perspective that he wants to see a happy, whole earth where everybody gets along and there are no wars and nobody's hungry, and that the world works together to create this utopian state, which we all wish to see. Because of my gifts, at times I can actually sense his frustration when he puts out a negative report, and I can just glean it from his words if I'm reading one of his reports, that because of the information that he's been given back and forth, I can feel that he's like, come on, good guys, we want the good guys to win, and he's definitely been pushing for the good guys all along to win. And from his most recent article, it seems as though, at least according to him, they've done that. So what does Benjamin have to say? His article says the White Hats have won, the United States and Israel will cease to exist, and world peace will begin. He goes on to say, the White Hats have won the secret war for the planet Earth. We are now in an interregnum. However, not much will be visible to the public until preparatory work for new institutions and world norms is finished. Public announcements are likely in the autumn. Nevertheless, here are the rough outlines of what is about to happen. The United States of America Corporation will officially declare bankruptcy. The Republic of the United States of North America will replace it. It will build a new capital, possibly in Winnipeg, Manitoba. The State of Israel will also cease to exist. It will be replaced by the State of Judea. The original Judeans, misleadingly called Palestinians, will manage the new state together with the European immigrants. Both peoples will have equal rights and guarantees of religious and personal freedom. The United Nations Security Council will be replaced with the 7-member World Council. It will probably be headquartered in Laos. The members will be representatives from Africa, the Americas, China, and East Asia, excluding China but including Oceania, Europe, including Russia, India, and the Muslim world. Decisions on issues affecting the entire planet will be reached by a majority vote. Each region will have a veto only applicable to that region. With the two exceptions mentioned above, existing nation-states and corporations will continue business as usual. The transition process to the new system will start with a jubilee. This will involve a one-time cancellation of all debts, public and private. It will also involve a redistribution of assets. The details will be worked out in public with feedback from the people, the private sector, governments, and other interested parties. There will also be war crimes tribunals together with a truth and reconciliation process to ensure the criminality that infested so many governments and institutions is removed root and branch. The functional parts of the World Bank, the IMF, the BIS, etc., will be taken over by a newly established, meritocratically staffed future planning organization. Each region will have its own separate future planning systems. The Western military-industrial complex will be given a new mission. Instead of stealing resources for oligarchs, they will be protecting Earth life, including human life. This means they will be using force, if necessary, to stop things like the destruction of rainforests and overfishing. They will also hunt down and destroy transnational criminal organizations, in particular the global slave traders. They will be subject to international law and act as the enforcement arm of the International Criminal Court. The decisions mentioned above are the result of years of negotiations between representatives of the East, West, North, and South. $100 trillion worth of gold-backed dollars will be issued to make all these changes possible. Also, as soon as the systems are in place, more funding will be made available to start a massive campaign to end poverty, stop environmental destruction, and then massively increase the amount and variety of life. The big breakthrough that made all this possible came last week when Russia and Persia gave the U.S. military an ultimatum. So that's the first half of his article that's free. I don't subscribe to his or any other channel. I get my information from within and from my meditation and prayer and then, you know, scrolling the internet just like the rest of you probably do when doing your own research. However, so Ben's always had this kind of perspective. This is what he's wanted to see happen for a really long time. And then we also have the third kind of arm of the alternative media that has been promoting, and we've talked about this many times before on my shows, but the whole wait and see episode, wait for Trump to come back, Trump's going to save you, don't do anything, sit and wait, it's all happening. Now, that could be in conjunction if this is all legitimate with what Fulford is saying. However, it could also be a very successful attempt in the amount of millions of peoples that are following that type of network and those people who preach that stuff, you know, that it's going to be all right, hang on, Trump's still in command and he's in charge secretly underneath, you know, they took all the gold from the Vatican, they're going to distribute it, they've arrested all the movie stars and taken all their money for the bad things they've done and that's going to all be redistributed, we're going to use that to pay off the debt that the country has incurred under Biden and then the debt that it existed before Trump came into office and yada yada. And so basically the world's going to be a happy, glorious place and Gitmo's, you know, working overtime and all the bad guys have been either eradicated at Gitmo or are waiting trial. And so there's that whole third arm, which kind of goes along with what Fulford said. If they've been keeping it all secret and waiting for it to all happen before they could give us the information. But like I said, you know, in the time that all of this has transpired, we've lost a lot of our rights and a lot of things have changed in this country that are absolutely gearing us toward what we witnessed in the Nazi era and in communism in general. So there's a lot to consider here. What I suggest when we listen to these things, what we do is to focus on the inflection in their words and the tone of their voice if you're listening to an audio. And if you're reading something, just always stay in a meditative state when you're listening or reading this stuff, because what happens is subconsciously and unconsciously, you're going to be given some signs and some symbols as to what the direct course of action will be or should be. And a lot of this is a vibrational thing. It's an energetic thing. And this is something that I've been talking about consistently on my shows because I do feel that it's very important in the times that we're broaching that we all kind of get to that level where we can rely on our intuition and our gut and our senses not only to carry us through the times that we may need to traverse, but also energetically, when we stay in that positive vibration and that positive mindset, we are able to shift and change things as we would like them to be. And it's going to depend as to how high of a vibration and a frequency we're at as to the changes we're going to see. And this also does incorporate into that what many people talk about insofar as jumping or altering timelines. As we keep that very high energetic frequency and we maintain that, while focusing and visualizing on what it is that we want to see happen, we can make the changes that are necessary to make this world a better place, not just for ourselves, but for others. So many times I've heard people tell me, I can't make it happen. I've been focusing on something for years or months or days, and I visualize it and I see it in great detail, but it's not manifesting for me. It's not happening for me. The reason for that is because their vibrational level does not match what they're trying to achieve, in that it's not high enough to obtain what they'd like to achieve. Being bombarded with chemicals in our foods and things in the skies, all of the things that we put into our body, all of the things that we absorb into our body and our bloodstream, and also all of our thoughts, all are combined into what's making up the essence of who we are. And that is what we're putting out when we're focusing on something. So we have all of that stuff to consider as well. We have all the stuff that we're eating, what we're drinking, what we're breathing in, and then our energetic energy as we are able to transmit that. It's a conglomeration. Prayer and meditation is so incredibly essential. And in this case, in my opinion, for two reasons. Number one, so that you're able to clear and calm and balance and get yourself into that positive state and then maintain your high vibration, but also so that we're not susceptible to the outside forces at play, aside from what we talked about just a few minutes ago, but the things like the 5G towers, the energetic sources that are coming into our homes, and all of that. And in prayer and meditation, when we pray for protection, we do receive that. And when we utilize our practical resources in the physical, i.e. turning off the computer, turning off the websites, trying not to, wherever possible, allow smart meters into your home, or purchasing, after doing researching, appliances and things that we can put into our homes to negate the negative airwaves and frequencies that are being brought in from things like these 5G towers and these smart meters and our electronic devices. While it's my belief that Father, Creator, Source, the universe, whatever you'd like to call it, has given us these gifts intrinsically to do these things solely with our mind, many of us are not at that level. I'm not at that level. I can speak personally. I can't, you know, shield everything that comes into my home and all of the negative energies that are around me all of the time. But it really helps for me to stay in that meditative, prayerful state, in that state of balance, and to keep my vibrations high, to thwart a lot of it. And were I to be at that really ascended level, and I aspire to be there, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I am some Buddha master. You know, there are times where I resort to maybe a transmitter of some sort or a blocker of some sort to help me to negate the frequencies that are coming into my home, because I want to do what's best for myself and my family and those that I love and care about. I know that energetically, if I'm the best person that I can be and I'm changing and affecting the energies in a positive manner, again, we're a ripple in a pond, and that will kind of spread out to all of those around me that I have contact with, whether it be a client or a friend or a loved one or a family member. And I would hope that all of you are aspiring to do the same. This is where we need to be in the stream of things. It's also important to note that when we're around negativity, it's very hard to maintain that positive vibration. At times it can be difficult when we want to be this ball of sunshine. However, every time we take a turn, we're being forced to deal with negativity. And so at times it becomes essential to just step back and do what I sometimes call a reset and think about things and how things have transpired and what we could have done differently to have changed the situation. But more importantly, to focus on our inner self and bring ourselves back to balance to where we need to be, because we can't help anybody else if our glass is empty. We can't affect our situations if we're not working at our fullest potential, at least affect them positively. And it's really important that we strive to do that. So in regards to the first half of the program, as far as alternative versus mainstream media and a lot of the different scenarios that are being given to us, depending on who you listen to, pray and meditate on that. See what resonates with you. See what pings with you. And then put yourself where you want to be in that mindset and put the energy toward that and visualize that happening. This is not a new age modality, in my opinion, when you approach it the correct way, because I truly believe that these are gifts that have been given to us from Creator Source, from the universe, from Father, whatever you'd like to call it. I think this would be a good time to stop for my musical break. My music is provided to me by my good buddy Pat Carr. He's an amazing original musician from Louisiana, and he's on SoundClick, Reverb Nation. He is all over the place. Please check him out and tell him that Maggie sent you. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr, and that's 2RCARR. Please become a supporter of the network. We are totally listener-funded. Any donations that you can send in would be greatly appreciated to keep us on the air bringing you these quality shows. Please check out the main page. Get a hold of the owner. I'm sure he'd be happy to have you buy him a cup of coffee or put some money toward his light bill. Also, we have a chat room that you can utilize. Please hop on there and talk to the other folks on the network and get to know people. It's a great way to converse about the show topics and expand to other topics in general. Although we do ask that you maintain a respectful environment on the chat room and not say anything hurtful or negative. Also, you can check out the other shows on the network and see if there's something else that you might like to listen to that you can enjoy. In addition, if you have your own business and you want to be a total superstar, please consider purchasing an ad with our network. And whether or not it be for my show or another show on the network or just on the network in general, if you don't already have a produced commercial, please contact the owner, and it's very possible that he and the producer can put something together for you. It's a great way to spread advertising for your company and support our network as well. Thank you all so much for listening to me here on the Positive Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart, and we'll be back right after this musical break.
When it comes to my baby, I have got a mean streak 2 miles wide. When it comes to my baby, I have got a mean streak 2 miles wide. So if you're messing with my woman and you see me coming, you better run away and hide. I got a pretty little woman, she don't treat me too bad. Cooks my breakfast in the morning, she loves me when I'm sad. She'll take me to the doctor when I'm feeling low and ill. She'll give me all her love until the clock stands still. We'll be right back. comes to my bed. I've got a mean streak 8 miles long. When it comes to my baby, I've got a mean streak 8 miles long. So if you're fooling with my baby and you see me, maybe you better run on down. With my baby, cause I'm just stuck in fresh. I said to him, man, you about to get into a mess. She told me, you don't have to worry, you don't have to start a fight. Just give me a little love and I'll always treat you right. To my baby, I've got a mean streak 2 miles wide. When it comes to my baby, I've got a mean streak 2 miles wide. So if you're messing with my woman and you see me coming, you better run away and hide.
And we're back for the second half of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. And you just heard a song from Pat Carr that was Mean Streak, one of my personal favorites. And if that doesn't have you up and bouncing in your chair, there's something wrong with you. Just kidding. Hopefully you like the music. I do. And this song is just a jamming one. Please check him out and tell him Maggie sent you. So continuing on with the second half of tonight's show, we talked before the break about how to change our energies and our vibrations to achieve a higher state of balance in order to manifest what it is we desire. And another sideline that I want to add to that, something that's very important, is not trying to force the situation. So when we're living in a positive state of mind and a peaceful inner environment, and hopefully a peaceful outer environment as well, what we want to do is do the things we talked about earlier, but also we want to be able to put the energy out there for what we want and be able to let it go and not fixate on it, not try to force it, not try to focus on it to the point where it becomes work. Because if it gets to that level, and when it gets to that level, because sometimes in our desire to change things, we can actually, if we've got a bulldog type personality, and that's something that I don't deny that I have at times, is we can fixate on that situation and put all that energy into it, but try to force the situation or control it. And that's not something that I try to do, because I've learned a long time ago that that is not a successful approach. We want to create the environment that we want to see energetically. We want to live in that state of joy and happiness. And as we've talked about on previous shows, get the vibration to where it's a memory that we've had, but we actually have that feeling of complete and utter joy, and maintain that while we're focusing on what it is that we would like to see happen. And at that point, put the energy into that and then let it go. We can't control situations. We can't forcefully change situations. And anytime we kind of try to go against the grain and push things to happen, it becomes very unsuccessful and a mishap. Essentially, what it does in most situations is it delays your blessings from coming to you, because when you're in that pushback situation and you're trying to force it, you're not in the vibration that you need to be in to realize your goals, for them to happen. And so the universe, Father, Creator, Source, is in essence teaching you a lesson in that instance by delaying your blessings until you have that vibration, until you're patient enough to understand that, and you have the capability to realize that you need to relinquish control in order for the blessings to flow. So as much as you try and push things or force things, it delays the situation from working out exactly the way it needs to be in regards to the universal or the spiritual, the higher powers' plans for you and for what you want to have happen. It's my belief that the blessings that are bestowed upon us and the manifestations that we're able to do ourselves are always in conjunction, or for the most part in conjunction, with what the universe or the higher powers want for us, or higher power wants for us. It's just that sometimes it's not exactly the way we envisioned it. Other things happen for a reason, because they're better for us. So know that in light of what we want, we can always have what we want. And if we don't, if we're in that right vibration, we're in that right energy, it's because there's something greater and better for us that's coming to us. But we have to learn the lessons first. We have to calm down. We have to not try and force. We have to not try and push. And we need to put that energy out there and release it. And just be consistent with that, but let it go. Don't fixate on it. Don't think about it 100 times a day, because that'll only succeed in getting you aggravated and getting the energy of frustration and all of the negative things that you don't want into your vibrational field. Then once you learn the lessons and you calm down and you come back to focus and you realize that you need to be in this state of grace, you need to be in this state of being in the moment, and not focusing too much on the future. In the moment is also very important, by the way. You know, that's when your gifts will start to flow to you and your blessings will start to come. But you have to learn that lesson. Worry is also another negative aspect of that, and something that we really want to try to avoid. And therefore, letting it go eliminates the worry that could be involved in a particular situation where we're wanting something so badly, but we're worried that what if it doesn't happen? That's another thing that we need to be careful of, as well as trying to control a situation. In some ways, this game plan, as it were, is similar to detachment that I wanted to get into. This may be a good segue to start talking about the codependency that I want to talk about primarily, probably on the next episode, because I do want to get into that pretty soon. But the book that I'm referring to at this moment is called Codependent No More by Melody Beattie. And in this book, she talks about a better way as far as detachment. While you listen to the words that are in this book that I'm going to read to you, try and see the parallels between detachment and not forcing a situation energetically to achieve what we want. It will be a good introduction to the codependency that we're going to talk about in a future episode as well. And so it's kind of got a dual purpose here in this episode for me to share with you. And I hope that you get something from this as well and are able to see the parallels with this and also manifesting what you want. It says in the book, A Better Way. Exactly what is detachment? What am I asking of you? The term, as you may have guessed, is more jargon. First, let's discuss what detachment isn't. Detachment is not a cold, hostile withdrawal, a resigned, despairing acceptance of anything life and people throw our way, a robotical walk through life oblivious to and totally unaffected by people and problems, a Pollyanna-like ignorant bliss, a shirking of our true responsibilities to ourselves and others, a severing of our relationships. Nor is it a removal of our love and concern, although sometimes these ways of detaching might be the best we can do for the moment. In that paragraph alone, I can see some parallels between detachment and manifesting, because we don't want to get frustrated at ourselves or a situation and have that hostile feeling, that withdrawal, the despair, the walk through life oblivious to, totally unaffected by, the Pollyanna-like ignorant bliss. And I've been accused of that at times, believe it or not, of going through life with this Pollyanna-like ignorant bliss. That's a perfect way to phrase what, or actually paraphrase what some people have said to me in the way that I view life and how I achieve my goals and how I perceive life. It's not a Pollyanna-like ignorant bliss that I strive to achieve or that I practice. However, the positive vibration and the positive mindset are what I practice and what I aspire to and what helps me to achieve my goals. So it's important to note that there are parallels but also differences, and it's a matter of interpretation. If you're seeing things, and if you're seeing people like myself who perform functions a certain way and live our lives a certain way, and you're from the negative side of the spectrum, on the surface, it may seem as though it's a Pollyanna-like ignorant bliss. But what those people are not grasping is that if you live in the state of peace and joy, it's not ignorant bliss. I'm still doing the research. I still got my fingers on the pulse of what's happening in the country. I just choose not to, A, buy into it blindingly, and I choose to go with just the things we talked about before, my feelings on the matter. What does my prayer and meditation tell me about it? What does my gut tell me about it? And then let it go and stay in as much of a state of joy and peace as I can to work toward my goals, to have that energy out there that will allow me to achieve my goals in conjunction with the powers that be in the universe. Also, I'm not shirking my true responsibilities because I'm being true to myself, and I am putting in the work that's involved in allowing these things to happen. Faith without works is dead. That's also an important component. The sentence, nor is it a removal of our love and concern, although sometimes these ways of detaching might be the best we can do for the moment. By no means in this process am I removing my love and my caring and even my concern. I'm just focusing on what I want and putting the energy out there for what I want to see happen. But it's always in a state of love that I do these things, and with a feeling of love in my heart. The book goes on to say, ideally, detachment is releasing or detaching from a person or problem in love. We mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically disengage ourselves from unhealthy and frequently painful entanglements with another person's life and responsibilities, and from problems we cannot solve, according to a handout entitled Detachment that has been passed around Al-Anon groups for years. Detachment is based on the premises that each person is responsible for himself, that we can't solve problems that aren't ours to solve, and that worrying doesn't help. We adopt a policy of keeping our hands off other people's responsibilities and tend to our own instead. If people have created some disasters for themselves, we allow them to face their own proverbial music. We allow people to be who they are. We give them the freedom to be responsible and to grow, and we give ourselves the same freedoms. We live our own lives to the best of our ability. We strive to ascertain what it is we can change and what we cannot change. Then we stop trying to change things we can't. We do what we can to solve a problem, and then we stop fretting and stewing. If we cannot solve a problem and we have done what we could, We learn to live with or in spite of that problem, and we try to live happily, focusing heroically on what is good in our lives today and feeling grateful for that. We learn the magical lesson that making the most of what we have turns it into more. That could be related to the what I call sometimes the reset that I was referring to earlier in the episode. And again, relinquishing the control, because we have to realize that we cannot force people to change their own situations. They have to do their own work to come up to the level that they need to be at. And while we can help them along that journey, we can't control what they think or how they feel or what they say. And we can't control how the situation will turn out as a result of how they act. And at times it becomes necessary to take a step back and take a deep breath and make sure that we are taking care of our own health and that we are in that balance that we need to be at in order to have the energy to, again, manifest and change what we want. And also in regards to the timelines that we spoke about earlier. Every thought, every feeling, every action that we do, if you believe in the timeline theory, affects and creates a different timeline. And so there's a version of ourselves out there that maybe has hundreds of possibilities based on our choices that we make, our vibrations that we hold, the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think, all of that, if you believe in that theory, are something that can be totally different based on the timelines that we choose because of what we say, what we think, what we do, how we choose to act. People have heard me say hundreds of times, not my circus, not my monkeys. And that is pretty much the way we need to live our lives. We need to focus on ourselves, put the energy out there for what we'd like to see happen, what we want to see happen. And just when someone's struggling, give them as much support as we can, pray over them, send them that positive energy. And pray and hope that they have the ability and the strength within themselves to either have an epiphany at some point or just decide to change at some point their mindsets so that they're able to climb farther and ascend higher and release all of the negativity and the hurt and the trauma. Also, we spoke about this in our show about ego and trauma the last two episodes. One thing that would not be parallel to the mindset of manifestation and focusing on what we want energetically and being in a state of joy is the statement that she made, focusing heroically on what is good in our lives today and feeling grateful for that. But if we cannot solve a problem and we have done what we could, we learn to live with or in spite of that problem. That's something that's different in regards to the energetic thing that we're talking about here. We want to be in a state of joy. We want to be in a state of happiness. And we have the ability to change what we can inherently in ourselves. And to live with in spite of that problem, no, that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is focus on the situation being better, or focus on changing that, seeing it change to where we want it to be. And that's not a control thing. It's kind of a slippery slope there because we're putting the energy out there for what we want to have happen. We're focusing on our needs and our desires and hopefully in a capacity as a whole to be able to help people in their struggles and across the world, a ripple in a pond. The chapter also does speak about gratefulness, which is something that I've been saying over and over again for years. When we're doing this type of work, we need to see it as though it's already happened, be thankful and grateful for what we've received. Gratitude is so important in this journey. If you don't have gratitude in your heart and you don't approach things with a humble attitude, this also is not going to work. And that's another thing that I see happening in people who say, but it's not working for me and why not? Well, this may be one of the reasons why. Detachment, the book goes on to say, involves present moment living, living in the here and now. We allow life to happen instead of forcing and trying to control it. We relinquish regrets over the past and fears about the future. We make the most of each day. Detachment also involves accepting reality, the facts. It requires faith in ourselves, in God, in other people, and in the natural order and destiny of things in this world. We believe in the rightness and appropriateness of each moment. We release our burdens and cares and give ourselves the freedom to enjoy life in spite of our unsolved problems. We trust that all is well in spite of the conflicts. We trust that someone greater than ourselves knows, has ordained, and cares about what is happening. We understand that this someone can do much more to solve the problem than we can. So we try to stay out of his way and let him do it. In time, we know that all is well because we see how the strangest and sometimes most painful things work out for the best and for the benefit of everyone. So the parallels there certainly are talking about living in the here and now and how important that is. Making the most of each day, that would be gratitude and blessing, or rather being thankful for our blessings. It also touches on faith, which is inherent in this type of work. You have to have faith in your higher power in the universe that what you want to happen is going to happen. Also relinquishing fear and regrets, releasing our burdens and cares, and enjoying life in spite of our unsolved problems. Because in this mindset, in the new mindset, we don't have these problems. They're minimalized. They're nothing. We're focusing on the greater, what we're going to see happen, putting the energy out there to be at peace and know that what will come to us is what we want to have come to us, unless something greater is planned for us that we're not aware of yet. Also, the trust that someone greater than ourselves knows and has ordained and cares about what is happening, and that they can do much more to solve the problem than we can. Well, that's going to be us working energetically in conjunction with the higher power. And let me say again that it's my belief that our Creator gave us these abilities to be able to do these things ourselves with His blessing. It's a lesson that we need to learn how to do this, how to make it work. Because these are gifts that Jesus, it said, you can do things greater than He did. This is part of that lesson. It's part of the things that I believe were changed and left out of the Bible, in my opinion, how to do this stuff successfully. So there's an introduction to the codependency and some thoughts on how that kind of fits into what we're trying to do here with the energetic shifts to have the lives that we want to lead. I'm going to leave you for tonight with a couple of thoughts from the Portable Do It. A primary reason people don't do new things is because they want to be able to do them perfectly first time. It's completely irrational, impractical, not workable, and yet it's how most people run their lives. It's called the perfection syndrome. And Salvador Dali says, have no fear of perfection, you'll never reach it. So even though we aspire toward it, it's not something that we'll probably achieve in our lifetimes. However, we keep striving to do the best we can. The next one, this is a big one. It sounds like a radical new idea, but it's not. It's centuries old. The idea is this: what happens in the outer environment has nothing to do with how we respond to what happens in the outer environment. Marcus Aurelius said, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at every moment. And finally, when choosing a dream, look to your heart, not to your reality. That's why it's called a dream. Make that dream your goal. Commit to it. Act upon that commitment. The methods to fulfill that dream will appear. Joseph Campbell says, follow your bliss. So there's another perspective in regards to dreaming and manifesting what you want. But you get the idea. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show as much as I did. I'm looking forward to spending another hour with you next week. Thank you all so much for listening. Please get a hold of me at maggie_hart@outlook.com with any concerns or questions. And if you want to book an appointment, I'd be happy to assist you with that. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a great night. Goodbye.